What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 292, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me as my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not a lot. I'm hoping you're going to keep me excited and into this podcast tonight. I'm a little sleepy, but I think we got some exciting stuff to talk about.
You said you had some weather last night, so you got woken up by the storms and
It came in at like 3 a.m. and then the kids were in the room, and then it just, you know, I was keeping my eye on the weather all night, and it just ended up not being a great night of sleep. So
yeah, it was actually cold here this morning, so I woke up to go to the gym in the morning and it was like 43 degrees. That's pretty cold for I like walked outside in shorts and like a workout, you know, like a dry fit shirt, and I was like, kind of cold out here, so it was a little weird, but so welcome everybody to, of course, our weekly tech podcast, where we talk about all things PC hardware for the most part, and talk about some of our reviews that we've completed this week. If you do want to follow along, we do have our show notes page that will have everything that we're talking about this week. And if you're in the live chat, definitely say what's up. You know, we can talk about what all the stuff we're talking about. Or if you just want to make fun of me and Ryan, you can do that as well. So let's jump into reviews. We'll start off with the keyboard that I kind of have in front of me here. I'll show you this guy, which is an excellent keyboard, I have to say. It's probably my favorite keyboard of 2021, at least so far. And this is the IQNIX A80. And this is a wireless mechanical keyboard. Now, if you haven't heard of IQNIX, we talked about them last year when they sent me this keyboard, which is their F96. And I always went on about this keyboard. How awesome!
My
favorite
keyboard. It's the best. Yep.
Yeah, it's the best. It's still really. I mean, it's an excellent keyboard. From the form factor to the colorway to everything. And they have they announced a new series of keyboards. Their A80 series, and I saw them, and I was like, these are equally as amazing. I think a little bit smaller form factor. So we have 80% keyboard. Which I'll go in and show you the size of the actual keyboard. So this keyboard's 80%, which is slightly smaller than a 10 keyless keyboard, except for you do get your full function row and then like your arrow keys and like your page up, page down, home end. It's kind of just crunched into the side of the keyboard here. So I kind of like it because you don't have that separation. With a 10 keyless, you have a little bit of separation between the main part of the keyboard and your arrow keys. So I actually like this. It just makes it look nicer, I don't know, to me. And honestly, I don't use my arrow keys really.
That right shift I think would bother me, because I was just like sitting here, like I feel like I use the shift just a little further right than, and I'd be hitting the up arrow. But I do like how it's all compact into one.
I don't use that shift. Yeah, ever. Gotcha. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a little different. Obviously the big thing about this keyboard is the colorway. That's one thing that I've loved about IQNIX since I was introduced to them, is that they really pay attention to their colorway. It's not just the keycaps. Obviously we have like a slate blue, white, and yellow color design, and you do get it on the keycaps, but it follows through the entire keyboard. Which just makes this so much more unique than like a keyboard that's either black or white or silver, you know, silver chassis, but then the whole color design is on the keycaps themselves. The color design is followed throughout the entire keyboard. So you have, you know, the yellow up here. Obviously, most of the chassis is that slate blue color. If we look on like the back here, you can see the yellow kind of comes through. It's a really, really unique colorway, and I think it looks excellent. I mean, it's just, I really, really like the colorway on this. The second thing about this keyboard that makes it a little bit different is that the actual function row is elevated and angled towards you. It's kind of hard to see in the pictures. Let me bring myself back up big so you guys can kind of see this. So you can see how it's, you know, it's angled up towards you, which is like I said, it's a little different, and that's kind of the only thing that takes a little bit of while to get used to with this keyboard. But it is different, but it makes it kind of, again, gives it that really, really interesting, unique look to the keyboard. There's also a indication LED, which is right here in between the escape key and the function row. Pretty cool as well. It's big. It's kind of, you know, when you hit caps lock, like, you know that you're actually hitting it, which is kind of nice. We have PBT keycaps, and in our version, we have Cherry MX blue switches. They offer this keyboard in Cherry MX brown, red, blue, pink, and silver, as well as Gateron black, brown, red, and blue. So you have really good mechanical key switches. Now, the really cool thing about this keyboard is that you can fully remove the switches. It's nice. Hot swappable, basically. So if you're into different switches or you want to buy new switches down the line, you can take the switches that come with this keyboard out and put in the, you know, the aftermarket switches that you buy. If you're not going to use this, it doesn't necessarily really matter. But if you do want to try out different switches, you can do that and still keep, obviously, this really cool keyboard that you have, which I like. It does come with the keycap puller and the switch puller. It's all one tool here. So just makes it super easy to do. And the switches, like I said, if you've ever pulled out switches, it's not all that hard. So really cool to see that there as well. You can see by default that the keyboard does sit at an angle. For me, I didn't have to angle it any more than this, but there's actually two more angles of adjustment with the pop-out feet on the bottom. So you can easily, you know, pick which level you'd like. It's kind of nice because the F96 didn't have any feet on the bottom, so you were limited to what it was set at, which some people were kind of upset with. USB Type-C, which is kind of standard these days, especially for smaller, more compact keyboards, you want a Type-C, obviously. And what's really nice is that they include a Type-C to Type-A cable, and the cable matches the keyboard, which I think is excellent. So when you buy a really nice mechanical keyboard, a lot of times you're buying an aftermarket cable to kind of match the keyboard. Or if you change the keycaps or whatever you do, you kind of want a cable that's going to match the same color. This, you don't have to do that. The heat shrink on the end here is, of course, the yellow. And then the entire cable is a braided slate blue. So it looks awesome. So out of the box, you're kind of ready to go. What's nice about this keyboard compared to the F96-2 is the F96, that was Bluetooth only. With the A80, you get a 2.4 gigahertz little USB dongle. So you can connect this via 2.4 gigahertz for, you know, 1 ms response time or 1 millisecond response time, which if you're a gamer, you need that. If you try to game on a Bluetooth keyboard, you will, at least for me, and like we play Apex or any FPS, like you will notice the input lag.
Yeah,
using Bluetooth.
You're not gonna like it.
Yeah. So having that makes this keyboard really great for gamers. It does have RGB lighting. Obviously, with this keyboard and the F96, because the legends on the keyboard itself, on the keycaps, they're not see-through. So you're not going to get great coverage as far as RGB. And obviously, a lot of the keycaps are dark, so the shine, you know, it's just not going to look as great. But you do get RGB lighting on the keyboard. You know, it looks good. It is what it is. Yeah, I match the color.
Yeah.
The only problem with this keyboard when it comes to RGB lighting and when it comes to gamers is there's no software at all. So with the F96, we did get software. It wasn't great, but it still allowed you to change the RGB lighting with software. It also allowed you to create macros. With this keyboard, for some reason, we don't have any software at all. So if you want to do macros, you have to find a third-party app. All of the RGB control on the keyboard itself, it's all done on the keyboard itself. So you have to hit function, and then I think it's function, then delete to turn the RGB lighting on or off, function, then home to change the different RGB lighting settings. And there's only like 7 different settings that you can change. You can change the speed and the colors. But it just, you know, this day and age, I'm a fan of software. Even if it's not the best, as long as I can use it, it's much easier. So there's no creating macros on the fly on this keyboard either. You have no option for that. So you have to find third-party software that would do that. But overall, I really like this keyboard for a lot of reasons. I think the biggest reason is, so over the past couple of years, building your own mechanical keyboard has become pretty popular, right? A bunch of my friends who aren't even like computer people have built their own keyboards. Now for me, I just haven't had time to really get into it. I would love to do it, but I just haven't, you know, haven't got into it, don't know enough about it. And, you know, I want a cool looking keyboard on my desk, right? I want something that's going to look cool, that's going to be different than all of the other gaming keyboards out there. Because you throw a gaming keyboard on your desk, they all pretty much look the same. They're black with black keycaps with RGB. You know, this is completely different. This is something that's going to look really cool on your desk. It's, you know, it comes with the matching braided cable, which I think is excellent. The colorway is amazing. So that's one of the things, is that it just, it looks custom when it's not custom. Secondly, it's solid. So the entire chassis, while it is plastic, it's a heavy plastic, there's absolutely no flex in this keyboard, like none at all. It's a heavy duty keyboard. You have quality components as well. So you have PPT keycaps plus the Cherry MX mechanical switches, and they offer a variety of Cherry MX switches, which is nice. You have the option of Gateron switches as well. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a really, really nice keyboard. As I said, the only downsides, no software. That's a big one, especially if you're a gamer. And that function row, I don't really use my function row all that much. Yeah,
like F5, that's about it.
Yeah, so like I don't really use my function row. Now, if I was like playing like an MMO like WoW, where I would have like the function row set to macros or something, it could be a problem. But it does, like I was trying to use it and I feel like I like bent my finger down to like use it. But I'm sure if you did use it over time, you would get used to it. It wouldn't be that big of a deal. So this keyboard sells for $189. That's with the RGB Cherry MX switches and all of that. There's a non-RGB version that's like $10 cheaper, but $10, just get the RGB version. Yeah, I honestly think the price isn't bad for what you're getting in this keyboard. It's not often you find a non-custom keyboard that looks like it's custom, right? Not only just like the color of the chassis, but you have the keycaps that match the chassis perfectly and everything. I love this keyboard. My favorite keyboard of 2021 for sure. So yeah, you got to get one of these. They're like, I was
looking at them earlier and they have like a white and blue space themed one.
Yeah.
That looks pretty cool. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So the 80, the only other issue is this is the Explorer version. They're in the difference.
Yeah, they had another A80 version as well.
Yeah, so I can bring up their website. I'm kind of upset they don't have more colorways in
the formula. Yeah.
Hold on. I'm kind of upset that they don't have the like different colors of the Explorer version, because the Explorer version is very different from the other ones. So like the L80, and there's an L80 Cosmic, and there's an L80-08. Like, see, they have all these different L80s, but the A80, it's its own thing. You can see the design's different. All of these do not, like, where the LED would be right here.
It's just like a little cap.
Yeah, it's a little cap. It's not there. And the top section isn't elevated and angled like this top section is either. It's just different. So maybe over time they will get different colorways of the A80, but it would have been nice to see what other kind of colorways they would have in the A80. That's the only other thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, just a, like I said, just a really, really awesome keyboard. One that, like I said, I think a lot of people like, and I really like the size too. I didn't show you in the review. I have a picture of it next to a 60% keyboard. And it's very like, you can see how it's not, the footprint is not much larger than a 60%, and 60% is very, very small. So I really like the small compact nature of this keyboard, but you don't feel compacted. I feel like I'm typing on a normal keyboard, which is nice. So
cool.
So yeah. Real quick in the chat, we have Old Man. Good to see you here. And he said, I like a good wireless keyboard. They're great for an entertainment PC. Yeah, what's great about this keyboard is you know, you can use it on your PC with a 2.4 gigahertz dongle, but you can also use it on a Bluetooth device, which is cool too. So I showed, actually, we do have a video too on our YouTube that I just dropped today of the keyboard. I show it pairing it to my iPhone and typing on my iPhone. You know, I could do the same thing with like an iPad. So if I'm traveling with the iPad, but I want a really good typing experience, I could bring the keyboard with me. I also didn't mention that it does have a 4,000 milliamp hour battery, which is huge for a keyboard. And it does have a shut off feature. So like, I don't know what it doesn't say. I think it's like 5 minutes without typing the keyboard will
go to sleep
to conserve that battery. So it's not like you're going to be having to charge this all over as well. So gotcha. Like I said, excellent keyboard. I gave it a 9 out of 10. Definitely my favorite keyboard so far this year. So yeah, go ahead and check that out. And then Ryan, you're not using your the product, are
you? No, I swapped it back out. Nope, for ease of streaming and everything. So
gotcha. But you can tell us about the product that you took a look at, and we'll bring up your screen here.
Yeah, so I took a look at the HyperX SoloCast USB microphone. So we've taken a look at two versions of the QuadCast previously from HyperX, and this is kind of a scaled down version of, I don't want to say a scaled down version of the QuadCast because there are some major differences, but it's just a smaller form factor microphone, a few less features than the others, but also at a more affordable price. And really, this is designed to be kind of that plug and play, set it and forget it microphone for creators and streamers and gamers alike, right? You can definitely use this as your microphone for Discord or something as well and get better sound. It just has a single pickup inside. The QuadCast had three in there. It's a standard condenser microphone. And it's super hefty, and I'm going to scroll through here. Let's go to the second page here. So it comes with a stand like their previous microphones, but also has built into the base threads for a microphone arm. So that's really handy. You don't have to worry about getting a microphone holder. And this is pretty common, honestly, but it's nice that it's built into the base of the microphone for you there. The upper portion of the microphone has a nice sturdy metal mesh to it to protect that pickup inside and act also as kind of an integrated pop filter. There's actually a finer mesh inside that you can kind of see in these images. In between the heavier weave, there's some more fine mesh inside there to, you know, take those explosives out of your peas. We do have some LED lighting on this microphone to indicate when it is hot and then when it is muted. This little translucent piece here has a red LED behind it, glows red when you're live, and then kind of pulses on and off when you are muted. So that's just a nice visual indicator to know when you're muted. And speaking of muting, it has the capacitive touch tap to mute sensor on the top, just like we had with the QuadCast. I love that feature. Like, we've seen multiple microphones with it since we first saw it on the QuadCast. I just love tapping your mic to mute it. It's so convenient. And what I like about it is when you tap, you don't get like a bumping sound or a clicking sound like you do with some other microphones I've seen where you have to hit a physical button. You know, you kind of hear that clanking around when you're trying to mute if you're doing it via hardware. The tap to mute is awesome for that. So that's something I definitely appreciate. Type-C connection on the microphone. It does come with a cable for the microphone. I wish it was a little longer though. It's only about 6 feet long. So depending on where you mount this microphone or if you're putting it in a mic arm, you really have to kind of think about your positioning of the microphone arm and making sure that you can get that other end of the cable plugged into your PC or your console or whatever it is you're using it with, or, you know, getting an extension or something. So that was kind of a bummer on this. Like I said, we do have a microphone stand that comes with it. And I'll kind of hold this up here. Obviously it does, you know, your standard tilting back and forth, but we can also do some rotation here to get some different orientations to maybe fit underneath a monitor and just fit into some tighter spaces, which is kind of a cool feature there if you're going to use that that stand. So it just kind of rotates through those. Audio quality, right? Like, this is number one going to sound 10 times better than a headset microphone, which we always typically see with a dedicated microphone. Utilized it in the podcast last week. I went back and listened to it. I think it sounded great. No issues found anywhere, right? We test without NVIDIA RTX or broadcast turned on, so that we get just the audio directly from the microphone. I was super happy with the results. It's not quite as deep as some of the other microphones we've utilized, that some of the other for example, which one was it that I had to the MXL BCD1, I think, has a little deeper tone to it, but for the price point that we have here, it's pretty tough to beat, honestly.
What is the price point?
The price is, I gotta remember because I looked at it and I thought I saw it cheaper somewhere else, and I was like, "Ooh, do I need to update this?"
I think it's only $50 now on Amazon. Last time I
checked. Okay, so it may have dropped. So I may have to. Let's just I'll take a look here and see what they've got it at. Yep, it's $10 off right now. So that's actually just as of this week. So that's an even better deal, right? Some of the things I didn't like about it, and they're not necessarily that I don't like about it. It's just some features that we've gotten used to on other microphones that aren't present here. Number one, we don't have a microphone out on it. So you can't monitor, I'm sorry, not a microphone, a headphone out for monitoring, right? You can't plug in a set of earbuds or headsets to this to get a direct link to the sound that the microphone's picking up. That can be very useful in some situations. We also don't have any gain settings available for the microphone or on the microphone itself. So any changes you want to have with regards to the gain and the sound that the microphone is producing all have to be done via software. So, you know, you can make some adjustments in Windows, or if you have some other dedicated audio software that you're going to be pairing this up with, you'll have to make any adjustments there. So, but again, it's a simple microphone, plug and play. You don't have to mess around with anything. It's got the mute on there. And it's got that single polar pattern as well, right? We've looked at the quadcast where it had multiple polar patterns, so you could use it front to back, or, you know, if you had a 360 use where you had people sitting all the way around a table and wanted to get even pickup all the way around, you could set it to the 360 degree setting. This is just going to be best right in front of you picking up audio for a single user, which is perfectly fine. Most people are going to use a microphone in that capacity. So, and then yeah, just the short USB cable kind of makes it so that you have to think about where you're putting it.
There is no software, correct?
There is no software. Yeah, this doesn't pair up with like Ingenuity, HyperX's application, because again, there's just no real adjustment to the microphone.
It's really good because I think it's just like the plug and play kind of set it and forget it type thing. And the price point, $50 for
$50 is crazy that it dropped $10 already.
Yeah, I just think that's, when you look at gaming microphones, even on the lower end, like $100 is typically the starting point for most gaming mics, or, you know, you can find some cheap on like no name USB microphones out there, but like, do you trust that? And it's, you know, for something like this, where again, you just plug it in and it just does its thing.
And you know, it's USB. So you don't have to worry about XLR connections and having an audio interface that'll support it, and then getting that audio into your PC and, you know, worrying about phantom power and things like that. This thing just plugs in and just needs that 5 volts from USB and it's good to go.
Yeah. Pretty cool. So definitely check that out. I would say that's like, as we get into holiday season, I would say that's like a stocking stuffer for sure.
Oh, definitely. I mean, like, yeah, you have that someone on your list that's looking for one, or you're looking for one. This is one that you can feel good about telling family to get you, like, hey, here's this. And they're not like, why do you need a $150 microphone? You know, like,
the thing is, you get it for the friend on your squad that like sounds like he's like,
yes,
he sounds so bad over voice chat. You're like, dude, I'm getting this
for you.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, $50. I mean, for a good sounding mic, I've spent $100 on microphones in the past. And that's an excellent microphone. And it's really nice that you can connect to the arm like effortlessly. You don't have to buy anything else or do anything like that.
And I didn't show it or talk about it, but the microphone just pulls out of the stand, right? So then you can just throw it in there, and it's two sets of threads. It's got your standard eighth and 3/8 threads on there as well. So
nice. Well, definitely definitely check out that review. We have Kosher Tech in the house. Good to see him here. I told him he has to make his appearance for the podcast. So good to see you in the live chat as well. Real quick, as we get into other stuff, I did make a video on the Montech X3, which is talking about low prices. This is a $70. We talked about it already. I already did the written review, yep, but I made a video too. So if you want to check it out, $70 case, six included fans that aren't technically RGB, but they look like they're RGB, supports up to ATX motherboard. Like, it's a really good case for what it is. High airflow with the mesh in the front. Check out the video. I had a lot of fun recording this video. I busted out my slider for the first time in a while. So had a lot of fun with this one. So definitely check that out. Also, we have Case Mod Friday. And that's, of course, where you see somebody building a computer much better than me. So this week we have the Nebula Sci-Fi. And this one's from Italian Extreme Modders. And they do a lot of these builds in these kind of like, I would say this is like motorcycle looking cases. Mm-hmm. This is the, what case is this?
This is the Antec, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the Antec Torque. Yeah, which is an excellent case for these types of builds. Really cool. I love that they built the res into the side here. It looks excellent. I mean, the white and the neon is great, I would say. Just a good looking build. And there's so much custom work on here that, like, the Antec Torque is not white, and it is not, doesn't have all these extra little thingamabobs and all this extra stuff. Like, it doesn't have any of that on it. So there's a lot of extra work that went into this that you really, like, all this extra stuff up here and all this that really went into this to make it look the way that it does. And I think it just looks awesome.
This color, it reminded me of this skin from Overwatch from Genji. He has this white and green and gray skin in there, and that's the first thing I thought of with this was that color combo. But yeah, this I really like this case or this mod.
Yeah, it's just simple.
It's cool.
And you know, again, I don't believe there's no water cooling on the graphics card either. It's just a single loop for the CPU, and I like that. You know, we have seen over the past year some builds that they just don't cool the graphics card. It's just like, you know, they just cool the CPU, and I think it still looks great, and you don't need that. You know what I mean? So yeah, real cool stuff. You can see the custom backplate too on the graphics card and all that kind of stuff. So really cool build. Definitely check it out. Good one from Italian Extreme Modders. What's this? Uncle Sam in the chat says, I have a 3090. You want it? I don't want it. Well, I'm sure a lot of people would want it. If you have a 3090, that works. We have our giveaway going on as well. So we talked about this last week. Just 5 days left on this $50 gift card of your choice. So whoever's the winner, I'm going to email you. And you say, this is where I want my gift card from, and I'll go ahead and buy it for you. Super easy to enter. We do all of our contests through Gleam. There's a bunch of different ways to enter after your first entry. And that's it. It's just super simple. Just something to get back to you guys. So definitely get your entry in. If you are listening to this, the entry link is in the description of wherever you're listening to this. So definitely get it in there. It is on the show notes page as well. So you can get your entry in. So definitely go ahead and do that. And that brings us to news. And we have more Alder Lake leaks, which it's just the theme up until the launch.
Are we surprised? Yeah, no.
But first, we actually have our first official real photos of the picture or of the CPU. This was actually from Intel, from the actual factory. So we got like somebody holding the chips. So that's our first real picture of it. So it's weird because I don't think Intel's done that before.
Just the straight up in the factory.
Well, no, picture? Just like picture of the actual chip before, like an actual photo of the chip before the launch. they've it's always like you'd get like the render or like what's in the you know, like a leaked deck or whatever, but like this is somebody actually holding it, and I don't think Intel's done that before. I could be wrong, but I don't remember that being a thing. But yeah, so you have pictures, and here's like leak ones that have been out already. Sure. But like this is what you would normally see kind of leak out, but Intel did their own with somebody actually holding it, so that's pretty cool, I guess. So it just means we're getting closer and closer. It's supposed to be November 4th for the official release. I think the event is on the 27th, so you'll hear a bunch more information about it on the 27th. I think availability is the 4th, but yeah. Another new leaked benchmark. So this is an i7-12700K benchmark for CPU Z. It crossed 800 points, which is definitely pretty high for a processor in that benchmark. You know, so I think that that's really good. If you look at the single thread here of previous processors, I mean, it's beating in single thread, it's beating 11900K by a lot. You know, that's 682. So, I mean, that's pretty significant. Beating a 5900X, obviously beating the 5950X in single thread as well. Pretty impressive stuff. So we'll see. I think these are going to be some really good processors. You know, I think we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. I'm pretty excited. I haven't been excited for an Intel launch in a while, so we'll see. And I'm excited for like DDR5 and all the other stuff that goes along with these processors. But another interesting one was leaked in a Core i5-12400, just a, not K, a 12400, which is supposed to be like a $200 part, beat a Ryzen 5 5600X in the leaked benchmarks. It's Cinebench benchmarks. It beat it. That's pretty crazy because the 5600X is a $300 part currently, and this is only supposed to be like just at 200, just under 200. You know, so I think that's
It is exciting. Like you said, you're excited for an Intel launch finally, and I'm like, all right, like that's a pretty nice mid-level part and price and performance.
Yeah, this is gonna be interesting to see how, you know, how these chips stack up against the AMD chips and what you're actually getting, and if the big little core thing is going to make a difference, if you're only going to see that difference in Windows 11, like all that kind of stuff. So we'll definitely keep you updated on that as we get closer to launch. But yeah, good to see these parts. Like, we haven't seen these type of leaks where Intel was beating AMD, you know, beating the current AMD parts for a while. So good to see that. Also, somebody leaked most of ASRock's Z690 motherboards. Not just the product names, the actual pictures.
Get some pictures? All right. I was going to say, we can probably guess most of them, right? So
yeah, so the one, of course, most people are interested in is Z690 Tai Chi. Yeah. We do have, which looks like the Z590 Tai Chi, which we reviewed, did have the clockwork little gear which did move. It looks like that's going to continue, and it looks like we got some RGB in it as well right there, so cool to see that. So you get more clockwork stuff down here. Looks like a solid board to me.
Light up audio ports, it's kind of cool.
I don't know if that's,
you don't think so?
I guess this is
why would they make them glow like that? I guess we'll see.
Yeah, that is weird. Interesting to see. This is like USB port right here.
I was looking at that, and I was like, is that blue on purpose? Are they trying to highlight something?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
So that's the one that I assume most people are excited about is the Tai Chi. But we also have the Steel Legend, which I've become a fan of Steel Legend boards. Obviously not as impressive, but it's still, like I said, good looking board overall.
Well outfitted.
I don't, what is, What is why? Why are the SATA ports? Why more down here? I mean, there's more on the side, but there's four here, but there's also four over here.
I bet there's eight along that one side. I bet those are stacked on their sides.
No, they don't look stacked. What? They look like.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't. I don't know. And then we have the Z690 Extreme. Looks like they're taking a note out of EVG. Well, they've been doing this for a while. This kind of cut out here for the SATA ports. You know, what's kind of surprising, and again, these might not be, I assume these are the final pictures, but like, these don't seem...
They're not very robust. That's pretty minimal heatsink on the chipset there.
Yeah. And like, you're not getting a full...
Another,
Yeah, it's interesting.
And it looks like a pretty lacking back or IO plate. Like, look, I want to see more USB ports on that. I know I'm a fan of USB ports on the back. Yeah. It looks like a lot of wasted space there.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so we'll see. So this is the Z690 Extreme. We have the Z690 PG Riptide, which that's their... We're going from high to low, basically. So this is going to be definitely a more cut down board. A lot of these aren't shipping with Wi-Fi either, because you see that the M.2 Wi-Fi slot. So you can add Wi-Fi to this board, but you need to put it in yourself.
I do like the pattern on that board, though. Silk screen on the PCB.
Yeah.
It's kind of just a cool...
Yeah. Again, with these, why are they putting them down? I don't know. I'm just not a fan of that. I don't know. Z690 Phantom Gaming 4. Oof. This is really, really cut down for a Phantom Gaming board.
Yeah, I mean, those heat sinks bring me way back. Like, those, just like that.
And again, that this
crummy
is
aluminum.
These are all leaks. This could be like a picture. This, like, somebody could have put these together from like the info that they have, or like the pictures that they have. These might not, but I mean, for a Phantom Gaming board, that's very, very, very cut down. Like, very cut
down. Do you really want to put this thing in your Phantom line? Like, come up with a new name? Or
I mean,
or
there's that's what I mean. Like, there's not even an IO cover.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just a cover, not even a shield. Like, there's no cover or shield. It's a little cut down. And this is the Phantom Gaming. This is the Micro ATX version again with these crummy looking heatsink. I mean, again, I'm not a fan of these. So, yeah. And then we have a Z690 Pro RS, which looks a little bit better, right? And then we have we're back to the Steel Legend. So we're back to the beginning. So yeah, I think the Tai Chi board obviously looks the best, in my opinion, out of all of them. You know, but again, these don't look as robust as I would have thought. Could this mean that like we're going to see a change where, you know, if you remember like first gen Ryzen, like the boards weren't all that impressive. And as we got to second and third gen,
right,
the boards on the AMD side kind of were parallel with
Intel
boards. Mm-hmm. And maybe now it's the reverse. Or again, these might not be completed boards, or were, you know, these could be fake. Like,
well, what? Okay, something we haven't thought of is, what if they're, you know, we've been in a chip shortage and like just general like supply chain issues. What if they've had to like maybe just lower things or make adjustments so that they can release boards, right? I mean, it's gonna still have all your core components, but maybe they've scaled back a bit. I don't know.
I could see that. I could definitely see that as being a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens when these come out. But it's cool to see them. Obviously, I'm a motherboard guy, so I definitely like to see them. So yeah. Also DDR5. So you can go on Amazon right now or Newegg and buy DDR5 memory right now if you want to.
And then look at it.
The first memory on sale was the Giel Polaris DDR5. Let's go to the... I think we have a link to the Newegg listing. Oh, it's out of stock already. But this is the Polaris. 32 gigabytes, 4800 megahertz. Doesn't say the timings. 40, 40, 40, 77. That must be a DDR5 thing, obviously. 1.4 or 1.1 voltage, which is going to, in DDR5, we're going to go down in voltage, which is always good. $350.
Oh, okay.
That's just, so that kind of gives you an idea. And I think we're going to get, so if you think about it, our normal capacity is basically 16 gigabytes, right? Nobody's really getting the 8 gigs. So as we go on through the end of this year into next year, I think everybody's going to get 32 because you're going to have better availability of single 16 gig DIMMs that, of course, we have here. So 32 gigabytes for $350. This is like at launch, but I mean, you get this price down. I mean, it's not going to be terribly bad, right?
No, that doesn't seem DDR5. Horrible. No. Yeah. I mean, you're still, you know, new technology, you're going to have a price premium for that. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, interesting.
The black heatsink looks better, but
yeah.
Especially when paired with RGB, but they're not ugly by any means.
Yeah. Oh, you can see the black one. Yeah, black one looks far better. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny that these are on sale already, but
yeah. And they're sold out. Like, I mean, yeah. I guess the thing is though, if you're playing in a build and you like if you've faced product shortages this whole time, you're like, all right, this is coming out, I'm gonna buy it and have it, so it's one less thing I have to worry about waiting on.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, pretty cool to see that, and you'll see a bunch more probably go on sale over the upcoming weeks. I guess yeah, they're just getting them out there, so good to see that. And probably like with everything that's going on with the shortages and shipping and all that stuff, I mean, I'm pretty sure all these companies are like sending all their ships now and everything, like all their containers over now to get all their stuff in warehouses so it can be made available. Mm-hmm. you know because the launch is gonna, it's less than a month away, so yeah. Cool. Interesting stuff there. So moving on to graphics cards, we did have a graphics card launch today. AMD officially launched their RX 6600 non-XT, basically made to be your 1080p card. You will not find a card that looks like this because the entire launch was all AIB partners. It's a 1080p card, and I think it's a great 1080p card. If you're never going to go above 1080p, it's an excellent card. It's like the RX 570 was, you know, like it's just that 1080p card. That's what it is. The problem with this, so they set the MSRP at $329, which isn't horrible, but all of the aftermarket cards, which is all that's available because there is no reference cards, all of the aftermarket cards are hundreds of dollars more than that. I saw one that's like $700.
Yeah, no.
So
that's horrible.
That's the problem with these launches is that.
Why even give an MSRP, or why even make it that low when your partners are going to sell for that?
Well, that's the thing. So on the NVIDIA side, you can set an MSRP and your founders editions or your reference cards are staying at that MSRP, right?
Right.
There's no price gouging, but if there is no reference card, the companies can just charge whatever they want. And that's the problem. If you guys haven't heard, I mean, this card, 28 out of the 32 compute units on the chip are enabled. 8 gigabytes of GDDR6 that's running at 14 gigabit a second instead of the 16 of the XT card, 128 bit memory interface, 32 megabytes of Infinity cache, really low TDP. And that's the good thing about this card is like the TDP is so low is that like even the crappiest, you know, power supply could support this. So that's why I think if they had a reference card and they had like availability of these cards, you would see a lot of people buying these because, again, it would be, from the reviews I read today, it is a really good, just 1080p, you know, it really, and that's what, if you look at like the Steam surveys, most people are still gaming on. That's what
everybody's still playing, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you just want to see this be available.
At an affordable price. Yeah.
Yeah, all of like, again, like you can spend up to, at, like official retail on these aftermarket cards, like up to $700-$800 on one of these. That's just insane.
Yeah, that more than twice the MSRP of the non-available, non-existent reference card. Yeah, that's, there's no reason for that.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It sucks, and that's what, like, we've talked about this through the launches since, I mean, over this entire year, all the graphics card launches, you want to be so excited for them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. But you can't be, because there's none available. And it's just like, the last time I was excited was when we had the 30, like the original 30 series launch was the last time I was super excited, because the prices were awesome. I mean, you know, and then as the crazy stuff happened throughout the world, like, there was no availability. You couldn't get anything. So when a card did launch that you might have been interested in, you weren't getting it. And if you could find it, it was being, and the problem is it's the AIBs who are doing the price gouging. Like, we would see, you know, for years, you would see like an aftermarket card, say like the ROG Strix card or whatever, right? Like a really high-end aftermarket card would be no more than like $150 over MSRP. That's right. Like the highest it would go. Maybe like a hybrid card or a water cooled card would be like $200 over MSRP, but it had a sure. reason to be. Now you're seeing like that ROG Strix card, the ASUS price is $400 over MSRP. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and there's not $400 worth of value there, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's just not. Again, like, I reviewed the XF or the Sapphire Toxic cards, and those were like highly overclocked, really great cooling, like a lot of stuff. That was worth like the extra $120, right? You know, but if you're not getting that, and a lot of times you would find like you would get a card that was like 20, like I remember reviewing an EVGA card like a few years back that was like $20 over MSRP, and it had like better cooling, full cover backplate, like all that. And you're like, yeah, like for $20, like hell yeah, like I'm gonna get the aftermarket.
Yeah, you're gonna get that. Yeah.
And now it's like, because of the price gouging by the AIBs, you really are getting kind of screwed if you think about it. You know, yeah. it's just out of control. That's why, like, if you're AMD, I mean, maybe they couldn't even make money on the reference cards. I mean, I assume now NVIDIA is losing money on all their reference cards, keeping them the reference price, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to somebody who works in the industry, and they were like, yeah, like when these cards were launched, you know, pre-COVID, the availability of parts and the availability of even materials to build certain parts were so low, and now it's so high, they can't make the cards for X amount of dollars. So that's why you're seeing even ASUS, Gigabyte, Aorus, MSI, like their MSRP on the card is $400 more than the actual MSRP. That's why. It's horrible. It's like, it's such a bad situation. And that's why it's like this long story that I'm telling you is basically, we don't get excited about graphics card launches anymore. You're just like, don't, because yeah, it's like, as good as the card will be, you know, you're not going to be able to get it. And you know that, like, your excitement for, say, like my excitement for you getting the card, Ryan, or like our listeners, I'm so excited to tell you about this card that's so much, so powerful, and it's only this amount of money. But like, I can't be excited because I know that you guys can't get it, you know? Yep. And I don't want to recommend it saying like, yeah, get this card that was, you know, supposed to be $479, but you can't get it for under $2,000 now. Like it's just, yeah. Graphics cards. But our next story on a better note, that if we do get a third player in the market, we might get some relief out of this. It has been announced that Intel Arc graphics cards will not ship with cryptocurrency mining locks. These could be the next cards for miners. Who knows? We don't know. Obviously, we don't know about performance. Only thing that we've seen is that video that they put out showing some games being played on their cards. But good to know. So, I mean, that leaves them and AMD as the two that don't have cryptocurrency mining locks. Yeah. Good. I'm not a fan of the cryptocurrency mining locks, just because I feel like if it's your hardware, you can do whatever you want with it. and the, you know, the company shouldn't lock you out of doing something that the card is capable of doing. So, so yeah, good to see that with Intel's Arc cards that would be coming out. And then our last little bit of the story, do you know anybody that's updated to Windows 11 yet?
Nope. I don't.
I know some friends who I've gotten calls from over the past week. They're like, why is my computer not compatible? And it's kind of funny.
Sorry.
Yeah. So when Windows 11, we talked about last week, officially launched last week. And a lot of people have, I know a lot of people have updated. I'm going to wait. I don't even think my high-end desktop over here, I don't believe is even compatible.
I should say my laptop is compatible.
I did see that, hothardware.com, my friend Marco, they posted a how-to guide to make an ISO that bypasses like TPM and some other stuff. If you want to check that out, if you know, that might bypass some of the compatibility issues as well as for certain CPUs and stuff, so you might want to check that out. But our last story here is that there were some performance issues with Ryzen CPUs, L3 cache latency issues. AMD and Microsoft have already, you know, they're already aware of the issue, and there's going to be an update pushed on October 19th to fix that issue. So, but yeah, I've been the, I've gone back to being the tech guy for all my friends who want to upgrade because they don't, you know, oh, how do I do this? How do I do that? We do have, if you guys haven't seen it, if you are thinking about upgrading to Windows 11 and you're worried about TPM, do I need to buy this TPM chip? I don't know what this is. Where do I, you don't have to worry about that. If you built a computer in the past 3 years,
three or four years,
your PC will be compatible, but you have to turn on firmware TPM in your BIOS. I have a video that I've done every major motherboard manufacturer BIOS. Like we did Asus, ASRock, Gigabyte, Aorus, MSI. Did I do EVGA? Maybe I did EVGA.
Did you BioStar?
I did one BioStar board as well. So check out the video. It's on our YouTube if you want to know how to do that. It's like I said, it's super simple to do, and it's, you know, once you're done with it, you don't have to worry about it. So yeah, so that is the news for the week. Coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a big ass CPU cooler. You can kind of always do this, but you can kind of see it. It's like right, it's sitting on the shelf. It's actually right there. This is the Noctua NHD15 Chromax Black. D15's been out for a while.
Yeah.
Years, but so
long while. Yeah.
Probably 7 years, 8 years, maybe. I mean, it's been out for a long time. But if you know Noctua, not everybody likes that color. Not everybody likes this brown color. Yeah. So they started doing these Chromax colors, and Chromax Black was one of the first ones. So basically, this is an all black version of it. And what's really cool is they sent us a bunch of their CPU coolers to test. And, you know, we'll be retesting it because I reviewed the D15 like 5-6 years ago. And then I reviewed the D15, when Ryzen first came out, the D15 AMD version or AM4 version, whatever it was called, that came out. So it'd be good to see how this cooler does now against some of the newer coolers that we have here too. So we'll be taking a look at that, and I'll be taking a look at a gaming mouse. I'll be taking a look at the Mad Catz Bat 6 Plus. It was ambidextrous. It has a bunch of different parts. Their website's really slow. When I loaded this website earlier, it took like forever. but it's an ambidextrous gaming mouse. Has like the sides come off, this top part comes off, you can switch them out for different heights. Kind of like here, you can see the different parts that you get with it. Pretty cool. So I'll have that for you guys next week as well. So yeah, I have to do some gaming to test it out, which is always a good thing there.
So
that brings us to the end here. We talk about any tech related stuff or anything that you've been doing this past week.
I actually had somebody in my neighborhood Facebook group was posted the other day. They were like, does anybody have a VCR? And I chimed in, and like the first responder was like, they made it was some gif of like old tech, you know, like a horse and buggy and like them laughing like super old technology, and I posted, I was like, yeah, I've got one and I can do that conversion or whatever. So I busted out a VCR this week to convert from VHS tape to a digital format for them. So that was kind of funny. I don't know.
That's pretty awesome.
I had it. I was glad I still had it.
I don't have anything that plays physical media. So I don't have.
You don't have a DVD player or anything?
Nothing.
Wow.
No, I don't even have an optical drive. Like, I don't have an extra one or anything. I don't think I do. Like, I used to.
External drive or anything?
I used to have USB? I used to have a USB one just, you know, just in case.
Uh-huh.
I would need it. But I mean, I don't have it anymore at all. Don't have any optical drives. Don't have, like, I gave my Xbox away, like the last Xbox 360 was the last Xbox I had, so I gave that away.
Yeah,
no DVD, nothing. None of my laptops are old enough to have a optical drive on them, so
yeah. I mean, yeah. Somebody at work was at, speaking of optical drives, they were like, hey, I want to put together a new computer, mine's like 10 years old or whatever. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's sit down and like talk about, you know, your needs. And they asked, oh, what about DVD drives or optical drives? And I was like, well, like, most of the stuff you get nowadays just doesn't come with it. Like, you can,
yeah,
sometimes you can configure it depending on if you're like ordering from someone like Dell or HP, you know, a lot of times that's an option, or you can get an external one. But yeah, like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah, old man in the chat said, that's cool, Ryan. I got an old VCR DVD, and they're like, I remember getting when you got like the double that had the DVD, I remember like my first DVD like player, and there's like, I was like, whoa, like, you don't just like play the movie, there's like extras on the DVD, and like
there's a menu.
And it was like, do you remember the rewinder? Did you have a rewinder in your house?
Oh yeah, yeah, you just like put that thing in, click it down, it's like,
yeah, so like, yeah,
burn up your VCR motors. Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. I had one.
It was cool. The process kind of sucked because with VHS, like with a tape, you have to read that whole tape. You know, it's not like you can read across the tape faster to get the data off the tape faster. It's, you've got to go real time. So it was like a, you know, 2-hour process for this tape, which wasn't horrible. I just sat it on another machine and let it go. But it's kind of funny. You think about like hard drives or other forms of technology, and you're like, oh yeah, it's just gonna do it as fast as it can. And with this, it's like, it's a 2-hour tape, so I guess I gotta wait 2 hours for this thing to finish up.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't do anything that cool, obviously. Hockey season started, so I'm pretty excited about that. I made a big pizza last night for the Penguins game, and I ate the whole thing. So using ESPN Plus, which
You said, is that working out still?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Much better than previous solution.
Yeah, but they still, so I was like talking about this, like, so the NHL sold like 90% of the rights to ESPN, but then they sold like 10% of the rights to like TNT. So like TNT will have like a game a week, like that's like the TNT game. Mm-hmm. But like I can't get TNT unless I get either cable or like a DirecTV streaming package, right, which is like, you know, I'm already paying, like, so ESPN Plus is like $6.99 or $7.99 or $7.99. Like, I don't want to pay another, like, this DirecTV package is like $30, and I don't want
to
get it
to get one game,
a week. Like, it's just, I just like hate when like somebody, it's just one company needs to own all the rights. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe there's some sort of monopoly restriction or something that doesn't allow for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't
know. Probably not, but I don't know.
It's just, it's a mess. But so I'm pretty excited about hockey. I'm like 90% sure I'm going to get the new GoPro, the Hero 10.
Yeah.
And
get the modular one.
Yeah. No, that's the, so
I have this, the one, DJI. Here. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have the DJI, which is here.
Yeah.
And they're coming out with a new one, which it's the, they're supposed to announce it on the 20th of this month. So I'm waiting to see if it's worth picking up or the GoPro. But like, I like, this thing is nice. You have one of those and I like it, but I just want, the new one has a bunch of other features that I like, and I always just like getting new camera stuff. So I'm either going to get one or the other depending on what the launch is at the, on the 20th. So So that's basically all thing. And I came like really close to hitting buy on a laptop the other day. I like talked myself out of it because I'm like, I'm not going to use it.
Which one was it? What was it?
The Asus, the one that has the second screen, not the super nice one. So Asus just just upgraded the 15 inch version of it. So the 15 inch version got like all these upgrades, got a OLED screen and all this nice stuff, and it's like $2,500. But I want the 14 inch one that's still on the last generation of processors still. I didn't get it. So yeah, that's all I got myself into. I'm buying cameras and I don't know, all kinds of crazy stuff. So
yep, slow down.
So so we'll be we're gaming. Are we not gaming?
Yeah. I think Shinny's going to be a little late, but yeah.
Oh, we can get on there. So we'll be over on Twitch if you guys want to continue to hang out. twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We'll be over there. Ryan will get the stream up playing some Apex Legends. Thanks, everybody who came out. Kosher Tech, Uncle Sam was in here. Old Man, of course, was in here as well. Good to see all you guys in the live chat. Everybody who listens or watches later, we definitely appreciate you as well. And we will see everybody next week.